And we're not here to necessarily celebrate Good Friday, but I want to talk about Good Friday just for a moment, because Sunday is coming. We're here today. This is Sunday celebrating resurrection. Everybody likes Fridays. Anybody I talk to, they like Fridays. It's the end of the week. They're all happy it's Friday. They're not really happy when a Monday comes, but they're happy with Fridays. But is there anybody that's here that likes Good Friday? Ooh. As followers of Jesus, we of necessity need to embrace Good Friday. But it's a little bit like saying that we need to embrace torture. Because on Friday was when Jesus was crucified. Yet the Bible says, in everything give thanks. How does that work? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And on the third day, this is Matthew chapter 16, and on the third day be raised to life. Now Peter took him, this is Jesus, Peter takes the Son of God aside and begins to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen. Jesus turned and he said to Peter, listen to what he said to Peter. Get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me will find it. Now, what I want to say here is Friday is the road to Sunday. Good Friday is the day that we remember the crucifixion of Jesus. But there's more than just remembering a cross. We need to also embrace the resurrection. But Jesus calls us to the cross too. Peter did not want to hear about Jesus suffering. After all, who wants to hear about somebody suffering? But there is no Easter without a Good Friday. There is no resurrection without the cross. The truth is, let's be honest, there is a Good Friday for us all. Every one of us got to go through stuff. Every one of us got to go through our crises, the pressures. Jesus said it like this, in this world, you will have tribulation. And it's like saying, in this world, you will have trouble. How many signed up for that? But we all go through it. Yes, we do. We all have. The very idea that we all got to go through suffering. Everyone has the problem with the suffering. Everyone has a problem with the cross. The very idea of Good Friday causes us all concern. No one likes suffering. In fact, it was his power and his wisdom that led him to the cross. Those who had seen his power when Jesus walked on earth, they probably wondered why he seemed so powerless at his greatest need. Those who saw him from their perspective, his intelligence, wondered how someone so smart could miscalculate so badly. both sides, missed what Jesus and his Father was saying one day when Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces many. Now every seed produces after its kind. These were not just words of a parable. These were words of a picture of Jesus' life. It wasn't just the people of Jesus' day who had the problem with the cross. People that we speak with from time to time have the same problem with the cross. As humans, we cringe at human suffering. We try and alleviate suffering. Just take the common cold. Somebody will take Buckley's. Like the stuff? I don't like the stuff. You know what I'm saying? But somehow it works. Religious-minded people, they're the ones that seem to want proof. Needy people and others want miracles and power. Intellectual people want wisdom and truth. But you know what? God offers us all, and all that God offers us is the cross. The earliest believers, like Paul the Apostle, called the cross the wisdom of God and the power of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. In fact, it was a stumbling block. It was a stumbling block to them. It's a stumbling block to us. It was both God's power and his wisdom that led him to the cross. But people prefer not to dwell on things. After all, no one respects or likes suffering. You want to tell a story worth telling? Try this one. Things are always darkest just before they go pitch black, and then in the blackness of the night comes the light of truth. The truth that our own power, our own smarts are not enough. We discover that in the midst of the trial that we need to rely on the promise of the Father. See, Friday means the beginning of change. Good Friday provides the opportunity for something to happen. Once you've been to the cross, things change. Stumbling blocks and foolishness turn into power and wisdom. The cross changes everything. If something's pursuing you, then perhaps the event that will change everything for you is the cross. You say, well, I thought Easter was about the empty tomb. Yes, that is true. But it's also about the cross. Why are we so much in a hurry to rush Jesus into heaven? It's just the fact that you have to have the cross. But the cross doesn't fit our picture of how things ought to be. But it was the road for Jesus. And it is the road for us. In fact, what Jesus does, he demonstrates faith. Jesus demonstrates faith himself over circumstances. You know what? Can I be honest with you? We can say, God promises never to forsake you. Listen to this. We can say, God promises never to forsake you. But it doesn't always feel that way. Jesus on the cross says, according to the scripture in Matthew 27, verse 46, at about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. And according to the translation, it reads, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was actually quoting from Psalm 22, verse 1, When David said, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away? When I groan for help, every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. See, there is a difference from feeling abandoned and feeling forsaken and the actual abandonment. Jesus says something really interesting in John chapter 16, verse 32. He says, talking to his disciples, you guys are going to leave me all alone. You guys are going to leave me all alone. John chapter 16, 32. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Yeah, Jesus as a man, he's on the cross, and in his body he was suffering. And in those moments, you wonder, oh man, what's going on? We think because he's the Son of God that he doesn't have feelings. And yet the Bible says that Jesus was touched with the very feelings of our infirmity. We haven't maybe thought about it, the fact that Jesus has feelings. In fact, one place it says Jesus wept. The Son of God weeps. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. In John 14, 16, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another advocate who will never leave you. Praise the Lord. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 25, David writes this, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Personally, I believe Jesus was not really forsaken, but as a man, he felt that way. Now Jesus uttered on the cross, why have you forsaken me? But a little bit later on the cross, he also says, Father, this is what he says. He says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Here's a thought. If Jesus was really abandoned and forsaken, then why in the world would he pray? And why would he commit himself to his Father? Interesting thought. Listen, in your darkest hour, you are not abandoned. Oh, that's big. Jesus was not abandoned or forsaken. He felt that way. And in your darkest moment, yes, you will feel abandoned. You will feel forsaken. In fact, there's times that you'll even call out to heaven and say, Lord, are you not around? Do you not hear me? What's going on? Well, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Even at the point of death, Jesus showed us how to trust the Father beyond the circumstances. He predicted his death, after all. He predicted his resurrection. It's one thing to predict the future. It's quite another thing to go willingly to a cross. At least three times, Jesus shared his destiny with his disciples. But they didn't understand, even though they spent some time with him. They just didn't get it. More challenging still is the fact that Jesus still embraced his destiny by faith. He knew the Father's promise of resurrection. But death, he even knew that death still lay ahead of him. Death is still death, even for Jesus. It was his trust in the Father's promise that caused him to wager everything he had, his own life. As a man, Jesus modeled how to trust the Father. You say, well, I thought he was God. Yes, but the Bible also says that he set aside the things of heaven. He set that aside. He had to become completely man, yet he did not sin. He did not die for his own sin, but he became a ransom for many. Friday was awful. I get it. But Sunday was coming. And so today we celebrate the resurrection. You may have Fridays, but your Sunday is coming. I can celebrate with you. We can receive victory with answers to prayer, miracles, healing. Just as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, we want to be here to celebrate your victories in Christ Jesus. Your Sunday is coming too. You know, those disciples ran to an empty tomb. In fact, they were scared spitless. But when they heard, they ran to that empty tomb. They were scared and they were happy all at the same time. They remembered the word, his word. And it gave them a spring in their step and a spark in their tongue to do what Jesus told them to do. After all, Jesus had appeared to more than once to the disciples. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, it says, Let me remind you, this is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then and still stand firm in it. Verse 2. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. Verse 3, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed to me. Listen to this. Christ died for our sin. Christ died for our sin just as the scripture said. Praise God. If you look at the Psalms, it's awesome, the things that are in there. Verse 4, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. Verse 5, he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. Wow, he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by Peter and later by the apostles. We discover from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1, verse 3, that during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And the Bible says, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And then he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Wow, that's awesome. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, that's what it says. For 40 days, he appears to them. Can you imagine? You see the one that you followed for approximately 3 years, you see him hanging on a cross. These particular followers of Jesus were really disappointed that Jesus did not overthrow the Romans. They were hoping. They were praying. They had been reading the scriptures that in the prophets that a Messiah would come. He would rule and he would reign. And these guys were thinking that, well, Jesus is going to do it at this time. But remember what Jesus told Peter and the rest of the disciples. And remember, Peter is the one that takes Jesus aside. Ooh, this is not going to happen. No way. I'll stick up for you. Yet Peter's the one that denies the Lord at least three times. And even though he denies the Lord still forgives him. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the Lord still forgives him. Somehow, these disciples didn't realize that the kingdom of God was going to operate in a different manner. So when Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't understand what's going on. You don't have the things of God. You have the things of men. You are siding with all the rest of the people that I'm going to restore the kingdom." You see, they could not grasp this concept of what Jesus was going to do. But yet Jesus, when he was alive, those 40 days after he suffers and dies and then he raises from the dead, from time to time he was proving to them in many ways that he was actually alive. You see him dead, and now you see him alive. Wow. And this just doesn't show up once, but it shows up several times. Wow. Friday is a must for everyone. If you will trust the Lord as Jesus did, Sunday's coming for you. People are going to be astounded just like they were with Jesus. Well, in Acts 2, verse 24, it says, "God raised him up, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible." Everyone say impossible. It was impossible for death to hold him. It was impossible for death to hold him. Wow. Well, in light of that, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that he's still alive. And if Jesus is still alive, then he's keeping his promise, because he told his disciples, "I will never leave you." In fact, in Matthew 28, verse 20, he says, "I am with you always." Hebrews chapter 13 and 5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So when I say that Jesus is risen, I am emphasizing the fact that he is with you. He is alive. Praise God. It just wasn't an historical fact. Praise the Lord. He is really with you in all of your turmoil and all of your trouble and all of your stuff, in the good times and in the bad times too. The resurrection of Jesus means that everything he said, every promise he gave, every claim he made is good. In fact, it has heaven's stamp of verification on it. The resurrection of Jesus means that death is defeated and we never have to fear death. There's two types of fear, and one is a very awe of God. Somebody says, "Well, we have to fear the Lord." Yes, but that is awe. It is not terror. The fear of the Lord never brings terror or torment. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For this purpose, Jesus partook of flesh and blood like us, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death," that is the devil, "and he might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to bondage all of their lives." He defeated the devil. He delivered captives. Praise the Lord. The question is, are you going to stop fearing death? And are you going to start believing in Jesus? The resurrection of Jesus means that we can boldly live in this life. Death has been defeated. No more fear of death means no more hesitation about living. What's holding you back from the bold things that Christ wants for you? The resurrection of Jesus means we have a gospel, ladies and gentlemen, unlike any other message on the planet that everyone needs to hear. You and I become messengers. We get to break the news to people that are still cowering in their fear of death. We have this privilege of unlocking the chains that hold people in darkness. The question is, have we conned ourselves into thinking that we can just keep silent and live wonderful lives that the lost will just see and believe? I believe somebody needs to tell them. For all who are in Christ have received good news. Any trouble along the way are just speed bumps in our lives. Keep in mind the message of Jesus is called good news. And it's not called good news for nothing. My sins are gone. The charges that's been laid against us have been nailed to the cross. The blood of Jesus has washed us all from all sin. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For those that are born again, you've been adopted into the family of God. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who also overshadows and undergirds you. In fact, the Lord goes before us and goes behind us. We are saved. We are forgiven. We are called. We are sent. We are accompanied. We are commanded. We are instructed. We are blessed. We are filled and used by the living God for His purposes. And finally, we must not be upset if we get these lessons a little bit slow. My nickname when I was growing up was Moses. Bible says Moses was slow of speech. In those years, I had a speech impediment. I could not talk without stuttering. You say, well, what happened? Well, before I went into Bible school, I said to the Lord, I need two things. I have a speech impediment. I'm not going to be able to preach well or tell people about you because of my speech impediment. I stuttered severely. It was even worse when I got tired. You see. Because my excuse was like Moses was in the wilderness. I can't do this for you. I can't talk for you because I'm slow of speech. Well, I also said to the Lord, I need to have a way to get home when I need to. The Lord took care of my speech, and the Lord provided a way for me to get home. Boy, I'll tell you. One thing that I always thought was, maybe I'm a little bit slower than most. I thought I was a slow learner, but I soon found out I wasn't a slow learner. I just didn't pick up the way people get it. Some people, I discovered with my two boys, that one picks up and he learns by just seeing. Somebody shows him and he sees. My other son is very good at hearing. He just has to hear. He's good, man. You just got to tell him once, he's good. Wow, we all receive it in different ways. But you see, like this, the Bible says that God demonstrated His love for us, that while we were in sin, Christ died for us. In other words, we're all flawed. Bible says we're all flawed. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what it says. You see. Some people will get it just through hearing the word of God, and other people will see it. What God did was He demonstrated to people. Jesus became the representation of the Father. In fact, that's what Jesus said. In fact, somebody likes to know about, you know, how the Trinity works. Well, first of all, you're not really going to find the word Trinity in the Bible, but you will see the concept of the Father and the Son, and of course the Holy Spirit has his work. And I always say it like this, listen to this, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work so closely together, it's really hard to tell them apart. So when God says, I will never leave you, when Jesus says, I will never leave you, do you know what? It is the truth. Some of us will get it just by hearing it, and some of us will need to see it by demonstration. And Jesus was the demonstration of God. Ooh, that's big. Praise God. But we don't need to be upset when it seems like these things come a little slower to us. We just need to give ourselves anew to Him. We just need to surrender to His will for that day. Dedicate ourselves to growing in Christ. One of these days, we'll get it right. And until then, don't get weakened. Some people are perfectionists. We seem to have more patience with other people than we do ourselves and with one another. Just remember, Friday, you may be in a Friday moment, but Sunday's coming. Let me help you with this. Let me share with this. And let me say to the Lord, help us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, once he was eating with them. This was after the resurrection. He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, remember, he was with them 40 days. And just before he leaves, this is what he's telling them. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? There it is. That's what the mindset of these people. That's what they were thinking. Is it time for you to free Israel and for you to restore? And Jesus replied with this, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. In fact, he says, it's not for you to know. More importantly, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the Bible says, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could see him no more. You may be in a Friday, having a Friday experience. Sunday's coming. Praise God. My Redeemer lives, and I shall see his glory as he works all things together for my good. Whatever things occur of this, I can be sure my Redeemer lives. Your Redeemer lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise God. He hasn't just risen, but he's promised to be with us to help us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In closing, I would like to sing that song we ended with. And you may not know it, and I understand. It's such a truth that's in the Word of God. I just don't sing songs just for the sake of singing a song, but I like those songs that fix our eyes on what the Lord wants to speak to us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. After we get done singing the song, I want to pray over you, if you will allow me to. Praise God. My Redeemer lives, and I will see His glory as He works all things together for my good, whatever things occur. Of this I can be sure, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let's sing that much again. My Redeemer lives, and I will see His glory as He works all things together for my good, whatever things occur. Of this I can be sure, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. He is with me. And on the battlefield, although the pain is real, my struggle soon will fade as His glory is revealed. My Redeemer lives, and I will see His glory as He works all things together for my good, whatever things occur. Of this I can be sure, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives.
Praise the Lord.
Would you stand with me, please? I don't know where you are at in your Christian experience or in your journey in your life, but I do know that my Redeemer lives and that He has come to help us, to be with us. Thank you, Lord. You know, it really, I'm going to say this to you, it really is not about coming to church. Although church is important, it's about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. I always say when you miss church, you just miss God's school. But you know, our relationship is not, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be, you Pentecostal, or you Baptist, or you Wesleyan. He's not going to ask us where we went to church. He's going to look for your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. It is about a personal relationship with Jesus. You say, well, how does that get started? Well, I could lead you in a prayer. To be honest with you, I could lead you in a prayer, and that might begin your journey. But really, what starts it out is having just a belief. Would you believe that Jesus Christ came and He died He was buried and he rose again the third day. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. The Bible says you shall be saved. Thank you, Lord. That's what it takes to start your journey, to start your experience, to start the pathway of knowing Jesus. It is a personal experience. So when we gather together, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The Bible talks about that because we get strength from one another. We get encouragement from one another when we meet together. I would encourage you today to find a place where you just open your heart to God. I talk to God in my car. I can talk to him in my office. I can talk to him in church. I can talk to him out of church. In fact, I do a lot of talking to God. And you know what the interesting thing is? He talks to me. And he wants to talk with you too. Wow. Yeah. Find a place where you just want to open your heart to God and say, Lord, I get it. I've sinned. I've done some bad things. But I want to confess that I believe in you. I believe that you died, was buried, and raised again the third day, according to the scripture. I desire to give my life to you. That is the start of your journey. Glory to God. If you need help with that, I can help you. But you see, the prayer is yours. It comes from your heart. It comes from your mouth where you confess the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. I thank you that he was buried, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead according to the scripture. Wow, that's so big, and I want to celebrate that. That's wonderful. It's words that are too wonderful. Wow. But I ask, oh God, that you would open our eyes, that we'll see what you did for us. You would open our ears, Lord, that we would hear you speaking. We would hear the words that were spoken even back then. You would open up the scriptures to us, glory to God, that we would find you in our journey in this life. You've desired to change us. In fact, your word declares that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of your Spirit. And I'm asking you, Lord, that even in our walk, that we will find a place where we will even open ourselves for the baptism of your Spirit, that we can be witnesses for you. Help us to share with others what you are doing in our lives because of your resurrection power. And I ask, Father, that in Jesus' name you will be with these people, that you will be their guard and their guide. You will go before them and you will go behind them. I ask that you will mark their steps in the name of Jesus, that they will find you in this journey to be a wonderful experience. But yet, even in those days of turmoil, they will recognize their Friday experience, but they will recognize their Sunday's coming, that you will open up and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Well, we just glorify you. I ask that you would, that your very, the light of your countenance would rest on them. You will lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they fear no evil, for you are with them. In the name of Jesus, we bless your people. Amen.